Good. Said the inspector. I like that. What about the nug? Said the... Oh, for heaven's sake. The gun. Gun, damn it. Still, I shall know what it means. Right, new paragraph. Oh, yes, wonderful. You do that. Oh, you know, what I wanted here is a bit more elbow room, really. Like other authors. Dickens, Kipling, Carlyle. You only have to look at their studies, which you can for about 90p, half price for kiddies. This room's the size of a squash court. All the books on shelves instead of on the floor. Enormous great desks with nothing on them but red leather tops and a clean blotter. No wonder Walter Scott wrote Ivanhoe in 3 weeks. Or was that Handel's Messiah? And now and then, of course, their soft-footed wives would steal in with a silver tea service and steal right out again. No messages saying the men had brought the manure, things of that sort. I bet if Tolstoy had worked out here in a little wooden hut down the garden, desk full of oil cans and derelict stapling machines, gas bills, yesterday's sandwich plates, he'd still be on Chapter 1 of War and Peace. Now then, you mean the Runder weapon? Queried the... Oh, for heaven's sake! There we go again. Murder weapon. Oh, I don't know. How about a few soft-footed wives with tea on a silver salver?
Good morning, darling.
Am I seeing this? None other than the soft-footed Miss Magnolia Badminton, famed romantic novelist, known in narrow domestic circles as Mrs. Gerald C. Popper.
It's a lovely morning.
Bearing refreshments on the finest salvery silver and looking a vision of delight from the summit of her tousled rinse right down to her Wellingtons.
Don't drink from the cracked side. It might be germy.
Come in, my sweetheart. Find yourself somewhere to stand. Give me a little kiss.
It's only instant. Where shall I put it?
Just here, my darling, on top of the back. On the bit the barber doesn't show me in his hand mirror. Thank you. Very nice. Did you feel scalp?
Hardly at all. I meant the coffee mug, really.
Oh, never mind. Who wants to kiss a coffee mug with germs? Bounce it on the oil can. Darling, what an unusually kind thought.
Why unusually?
No, I'm sorry. No, I didn't mean unusually. Unusually early for a kind thought. 7 in the morning. Not on the woodworm stuff, darling, on the oil can.
Oh, sorry, on here?
No, that's the fly killer.
Is it? It says keep away from fish.
Yes, well, I always do. All right? Oh, sorry, dear, that's the rose spray. Oh, well, darling, what does it matter? Put it anywhere, my love. It's just that I like everything in its place, you know me.
There, on the oil can, then. Were you going to spray the roses?
No, why?
Oh, nothing, I thought perhaps as you've got the spray... Gerald?
I'm sorry. Sorry, darling, I was just thinking. Do you think we're the wrong sort of writers, us two?
How do you mean? Could I just sit on this pile of modern encyclopedia in 12 volumes lavishly illustrated?
Do, please do. Good. No, I was thinking of people who write... Look out, watch your centre of gravity.
Sorry.
That's better. People who write on these cans. I mean, we slave away with our tricky plots, you working out how to get an air hostess in the family way.
I don't see that so tricky.
Well, that sort of thing. And me, the inspector, trying to find the nug, the rummed weapon. Are you with me?
As good as.
And here's this aerosol writer with his rose spray. He just reels the stuff off. Now, just listen to this. Sever projecting seal from spout closure and reclose with captive cap. Good grief. I mean, captive cap. No worries about the euphony, and just because he has a bit of space left over, he wangs in this bit about keeping away from fish. Let alone gets published in about 1 million editions, or cans. Makes twice the money we do, and not a single reader writing in to ask how you get fish in rosebeds.
You don't know that?
I certainly don't. I mean, look at our rosebed. How many fish...
You don't know they don't write in?
Oh, no, well...
So you're not going to?
I'm tempted.
Not going to spray the roses?
Oh, that... Oh, no. No, this can is just for technical reference for the dirty thumb.
I see. Drink your coffee.
A case of. That's how they'll index it in the British Museum Library. Dirty thumb the. The case of.
That's one thing about not being a can writer.
What is?
Well, there's always at least one copy of a Gerald C. Potter you know where to find. That can writer, 10 years from now, wanting a gloat over his past work, he could be in the museum 6 months and not a single specimen.
I suppose so. Unless they have some rosebuds round the back.
Look on the bright side, darling. Drink your coffee.
With fish in them.
Here, I'll get it.
Look out! Oh, for heaven's sake, my darling. Look, are you all right? Well, I did tell you to watch your centre of gravity. Why didn't you sit on the National Geographics, for Pete's sake? Come on, here, give me a hat. She really took it extraordinarily well, that fall. It isn't every lady novelist who'd sit in a waste bin with her boots full of coffee and say it was all her fault. I don't see Barbara Cartland, for one. As a matter of fact, between you and me, I was just a little suspicious. All that sweetness and light at 7 in the morning, bringing out the soft-footed coffee and so forth. Barely a murmur about falling off the encyclopedias. Back in the house, she even let me tell her the plot of The Dirty Thumb, or as far as I'd got. You don't often get that sort of thing between writers, particularly when they're married to each other. Then his wife says to the inspector, "Inspector," she says, "is that all right, darling?"
"They know each other pretty well, do they?"
"Who do? I've made this lot with Beans."
"This wife and the inspector."
"We only just met. Why?"
"I just thought calling him darling."
"I am calling you darling, you fool. Is the coffee all right, darling, I'm saying, you daft cuckoo?"
"Oh, thank you, darling. It looks just right."
"Not too sweet?"
"Doesn't look a bit too sweet. Go on."
"Good. Inspector," she says. The wife says.
This is the corpse's wife.
"That's right."
Identifying the body.
"That's right." She says to him...
"She wouldn't be its widow."
"Well, I suppose technically, if it's as quick as that. But it's only chapter one. He's hardly cold."
"I think that's cold enough."
"You don't get 14 days grace or something?"
"I don't think so."
"Oh."
"Not for wives of corpses. He breathes his last, and you're straight on to Harrods. Full set of widow's weeds in a veil with little black dots on."
"Yes, well, I'm not sure she is identifying the body yet. Now, when she tells
and
the inspector..."
"And a black crocodile handbag."
"When she..." "What?"
"A lovely handbag in black crocodile."
My suspicions were deepening. Oh, I quite understood about Harrods and the handbag. Every girl sees herself got up to kill, so to speak, in a brand new ensemble. But when I finally got her off the widow's trousseau bit, she still sat there listening to every word about the corpse's wife being puzzled by its dirty thumb because it never weeded the rosebed without gloves on. But there was this next bit, too. Just roughly worked out, you know, about finding this pair of gardening gloves with the thumb missing. And she was still hanging on my words and asking terribly useful questions, actually, such as, how was I going to mutilate the body so that only a thumb was left to go on? So it was really no surprise to me, frankly, when, in the fullness of time, she finally came to the point.
"I do mean it. I really mean it. I think it's a winner, darling, from beginning to end."
"Yes, it could be. And I'm going to use some nice technical stuff off the rose spray can. All about how it contains dicofol, phenytrophin, and energized dino cap."
"And keep away from fish, which reminds me, you know it's Friday when we do the supermarket. Would you do something for me and shop alone? I mean, you'd have to if you were a widow. It'll be good practice for you."
"Now look, Diana, let's not get too funny, all right? If there is any good reason why I should be a lone man with a trolley looking for jars of pickled cabbage amongst the fish fingers..."
"The reason is I've got to go to hospital."
"The laughing stock of the checkout girls." "What? Hospital? Well, I knew you'd hurt yourself falling on that bin, darling, but why on earth didn't you tell..."
"Oh, shut up. It's not me. It's Nellie Dickey. I promised to visit. 11 prompt. Darling, you've gone quite pale."
"No, I haven't. But if I had, I have every right to do so. I thought it was you, you stupid person. Oh, really, Diana?"
"Well, it isn't. Oh. Darling, I tried to break it gently. You'd better sit down. I'll take the tray out."
"Thank you. I think I'd better. I mean, oh, my God, Diana, honestly."
"Then I'll get the shopping list. I've written it all out in simple language. You know Nellie, when they come to play Mahjong. She's the jolly one, Nellie, but the other two, Millie and Tilly, are both in Spain, so she's got nobody but me. It's all right, I can open it. And I only heard she was in last week, so I promised this week, Friday, without fail. And when I remembered the shopping, I knew you'd do it if I asked you. And you know what it's like in hospital when you're expecting and nothing happens. And you can take the car and I'll take the bus. It goes right to the door. Besides, she's a widow and all alone in a new little house. So, well, I think it's the least we can do. Don't you?"
"I don't believe this."
"You know where the steaks are down the end past the soups?" "Don't believe what, darling?"
"Thank God you're not Molly."
"Molly who?"
"Molly Potter, playing Mahjong."
"Oh, if you can't get Phyllis, get sirloin."
"Millie, Tilly and Nellie's bad enough. Tilly, Millie, Nellie and Molly."
"But not too thin. You're not looking at the list here."
"And if I was Willie and I played, you'd have Willie and Molly and Tilly and Millie and Nellie. What's the matter with her?"
"Nellie Dickey. She's Dickey. In hospital, that's why."
"I shouldn't have asked that. What's this P.S. at the top?"
"Where?"
"I thought P.S.'s went at the bottom. P.S. sausages."
"Pork skinless.
They're opposite the chickens in the next alley. I've put an arrow.
Oh.
Now, when you've got the spinach and the eggs, down there, look.
122 eggs, yes.
Where's that? 12 eggs, you dope. Size 2. 1, 2, 2.
Is she the one with the terrific laugh, Nellie? The one I hear when I'm out in the garden hut and you're all cosy in here with the Marjinks.
I said she was the jolly one. Millie's a bit silly. Now then, after the eggs.
is Tilly silly too? Sorry, look it on.
Shut up.
No, really, I'm interested. How silly is Tilly?
Only a bit.
Oh, yes.
She goes along with Millie.
Willy-nilly.
after the eggs.
I'm sorry.
Shut up.
Well, you shut up. You started.
You shut up.
Oh, hell.
Here goes.
Pull yourself together, Potter.
I got to go. It's 10 minutes to bus time.
Oh. Well, which comes first, the chicken or the eggs?
It's all written down. You only have to read it, darling.
Well, we all know the old saying, laugh before 11, red sky at night. And I was certainly sorry to find Mrs. Potter in low spirits when I got back, stirring some soup and weeping into it. I don't know how you are with soup, but I always like to add my own condiments. Unfortunately, I felt rather good myself. Any man who's fought through a supermarket alone against fearful odds is entitled to a high sense of achievement, let alone the Queen's Medal for Gallantry. And I'd have thought anyone just back from hospital visiting would feel the same. Indeed, I said as much, beginning to unload the morning's work.
Well, I don't. I just feel awful about it.
Oh, no. Why, darling? You said you'd go and you went. And so did I. And I got everything. Except for one.
Poor Nelly. I just feel terrible.
How does she feel?
I'm not ready to tell you. What one?
What one what? Oh, dear. Wipe your nose on your apron. Here, let me. There. That's better, isn't it?
What one couldn't you get?
Wait just a moment. I've got the list here somewhere. This one. Parakeet livers. They didn't seem to know what I was talking
about. They weren't important.
Oh, good.
It's pedal bin liners, actually.
Oh.
Gerald, I was too late. She'd gone.
She hadn't.
Yesterday. Just slipped away.
Good grief. I didn't know she was ill as all that.
No, well, she couldn't have been. Otherwise, he wouldn't have let her go.
I don't quite follow that. Oh, really, Diana? Look, are you telling me she hasn't gone after all this? Just gone?
You don't think that's bad enough when I'd rung up and left a solemn oath to visit...
2 tins, Toms.
I feel awful.
You said that. 1 packet Sprozen Frouts. She's the one to feel awful, if you ask me, shoving off home on Thursday without a word when she knew you were coming to eat her grapes on Friday.
No, because I think now I might have said Thursday.
Are you telling me...
I think I might. There she was, waiting all morning, watching the door for someone to come in, not carrying something under a cloth, her best friend... Apart from Tilly and Millie and they're in Spain.
Will you kindly listen to me, Diana? Never mind about her best friends being carried in under a cloth. Are you now telling me...
I feel better for telling you, darling.
Not when I've told you what I am asking if you're telling me. Viz, that I needn't have been a one-man lone ranger in that blasted shop this morning after all. Asking the way to the parakeet livers and getting my feet run over... Granny's behind me at the checkout, ramming me up the rump with prickly baskets.
Darling.
No.
Gerald.
On no account.
I've just thought I'd tell you what I think we could do, you know, just to make me feel better.
She writes the wrong sort of books, that's what it is. Gets ideas above her station. The jet set, the yacht lot. All those characters swanning around the Med in haute couture underpants with about 40 teeth showing white against their tan. It's different in West Sussex. I don't say I'm against taking a bottle of champagne to a convalescent mahjong player, but 3 bottles, that is too many. Showy, I'd call 3, and I said so. And she caved in. Rather unexpectedly, actually. And she said, okay, let's make it 6 halves. But I was driving back from the local booze shop before I saw she'd done me. Oh, they're clever, all right. The only thing you wish... or I did in this case, is that they have some sort of vague idea of where the mahjong players are convalescing. Come to think of it, though, that's just what she did have.
You take half and I'll take half. Oh, look at this lovely one. People skating home with Christmas trees.
Is it from Nelly?
No. Wickersley Barton and Reinbaum, cordial greetings. Who are they?
My accountants.
It's a lovely card.
They can afford it. Look, Diana, we are not here to read these lovely old last year's cards. Any grotty old card with Nelly's address on it is all we need.
I think it's vaguely past that village where we saw those nuns.
Oh, well done. That pinpoints it nicely.
You remember, they were running.
All the same.
And there was a chemist called We Hurt MPs.
Was there?
Only it turned out to be W.E. Hurt MPS.
When are we going to have that soup?
Let's find it first.
Well, I can find it. It's in the kitchen.
Find Nellie's address.
Well, why isn't it in the address book?
It is, only it's her old one.
Oh, good. Excellent. What does she usually send? Robins? Kittens in jugs? Or something really seasonable, like a map of Wessex?
I know I wrote it down somewhere, because we were going to play Mahjong there just after she moved. But then she fell ill with her what-is-it that she eventually went into hospital with.
And came out without. What is it? Look, I'd rather not know. Don't tell me.
She had her telephones moved while she was in.
I said don't tell me.
And painted inside and out.
Could I say something?
Yes. Oh, here's a nice one. Snowman playing a guitar. Yes, darling, say something.
Two things.
That's okay.
It may be three.
Why not? I know the new house had a funny name. Small Claims Court, something like that.
Thing one. I do not relish details of ladies' operations, especially if they end being painted inside and out.
The house, you dote, not her.
Thing two. Painted the house? I thought it was a new house.
It is, but it's an old one.
Fine. Thing two. If she's got telephones, why don't we call her and ask where she lives? Don't answer that. I know you haven't her new number. Thing three. On this extremely warm day...
Wrong, I have her.
And despite all these pictures of snow, you have her?
It's in my Where Is It? In my little red Where Is It? But with Where Is It on the cover.
I suppose I've got to ask. Where is it?
Behind you.
Mm-hmm.
In what we used to think was the silver entree dish. Now just plated. Well, look, can't you? It'll be indexed under M.
Right. M for Mrs. Dickey.
M for Mahjong.
You've got systems, I'll say that. Here we are, then. Now, I don't quite see why you've got starched ostrich under R.
Oh, give it to me. Stuffed oysters, R for recipes. It's time you got some glasses.
By an amazing coincidence, that is thing three. Get some glasses. I was just going to do that. And you get the champagne. It's been a long, thirsty day, and still lots of time to go. One thing about half bottles, you can get a grip. Open them without making that vulgar pop.
You made a vulgar pop with the first one.
Yes, well, this one's going to come out with a little well-bred hiss. Come out. Oh, sorry. Still weak after all that telephoning. Hold out your glass.
I'm holding it on my soaked knee.
Out, my dear, out. Come on, hold it out. There we are. Do you know what I think?
Not always.
Anyone who didn't know they were going to get six will be just as pleased with four.
I don't so think so, think so.
Especially with 11 digits to dial, and then nothing at the end of it but the sound of a dying wasp in a bottle.
That means number unobtainable. Cheers.
Bung ho.
You'll have to go around and get two more after lunch.
What's the time?
Not four yet. You should have got the opulator.
Yeah, well, I got the opulator. She said there was no answer.
You knew that.
No answer to the problem of when there's no answer. Because they've had the engineers in moving the phones, which I was fool enough to mention.
You weren't, darling.
Yes, I was. I gave her a lever.
I insist.
And so did I. And when I asked her what I was dialing on 22331921112, she wasn't allowed to give out the information, she said. And if I didn't know, why was I dialing it?
You were standing up to her. I admire that.
Sitting down by then,
actually. I know, but not lying down.
I said, where were the good old days when you could ask for Leatherhead 3-6 and know what exchange you were on?
Or Dorking 2-5.
Just as good. I said it was all very well...
Stoke Pages 9.
All very well being able to get San Francisco on the STD. And a hell of a lot of...
Farnborough, Southport.
A hell of a lot quicker, I said.
Sittingbourne, 1-2,
all right, don't milk it, my love, don't milk it. But if you couldn't find, I said, the new old house of a champagne-guzzling widow, Dickie, oh, excuse me, somewhere not 10 miles off with hot-running nuns, and that's when she pulled the lever, the plug. Then I thought of ringing the village shop, but there was this difficulty, you see, in not knowing the village. Are you listening, darling? Darling, you realise that I am doing all this for you. She is not my friend. Diana? Diana, are you there? There you are, she'd gone. Slipped away. But things looked rosy at that point. We'd obviously have to call the whole thing off. Especially as the booze shop shut Saturday afternoons, which I was well aware of, but she'd forgotten. Well, naturally, I was tactful about it. Drove round there and came back looking surprised and resentful. She said it didn't matter. I could easily go round again on Monday, make up the two missing halves, and drive over to Nellie's in the afternoon. Yeah, well, I did not say. She wasn't thinking quite clearly yet, and we still didn't know where Nellie was. She could have had me dialing Spain. Ah, is that Spain, por favor? Grazie, senorita. Give me Tilly or Millie. Is there anybody there called Millie, Millie from the old Mahjong? No, well, at least we got a bit of work done on the Sunday. We stay home on Sundays because everyone else doesn't, at least in the good old summertime. So she ripped off about 19 chapters of Hearts in Aspic. She's not bad on titles, and I did some useful research and cut up a gardening glove to check how far a dirty thumb would stick out. Then on Monday, the worst happened, and quite early. I hadn't even had time to hope it wouldn't.
Has anybody here seen Nellie? Nellie with the bright blue leg.
Gerald!
Who's that? Come in, Nellie. It's open.
Has anybody here seen Nellie?
Nellie's address. I found it. I knew I'd put it in a safe place.
Ah, but not safe enough, apparently.
You're using my sponge again. It doesn't matter. You want to know where I found it?
Very much.
Your collarbones are sticking out more.
Very much indeed.
Not much, darling. Only a bit. In the bread bin.
Ah, why didn't we think of that?
I know.
Has anybody here
incredible.
Seen
anyway, it's a great hammering.
Ah, where they hurt MPs.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. House called Little Pledges.
Oh, not Small Claims Court. Oh, well tried, though.
Look, all written out.
Well, I can't look at the moment. I'm sorry, Diana. Could you help me find the soap?
And full directions.
Mm-hmm. Ow! Not there, Diana. It's gone down the other end.
Sorry, here.
Oh, thank you.
You know that's my soap. I don't mind a bit. You know, like a pawnbroker in a small way of business, Little Pledges. Hurry up and finish and then we'll go. Isn't it fantastic?
Fantastic. Don't we get any...
Hurry up, darling!
Don't we get any breakfast? I shouldn't be surprised.
Well, that's what she must have told me. First left after platform with milk churns. Otherwise, I wouldn't have written it down in the bread bin. Mind that sheep!
Oh. Why can't you look where you're going? That is all very well. Are we all right for great hammering? Oh, you're useless, you know that.
Like the last three we asked.
And they were people. Talk about uncharted country. Any minute you'll see David Attenborough playing with apes.
And then we could ask one of them. No, look! Isn't that a signpost?
I've forgotten what they look like. What does it say? All hope abandoned?
It says road narrows.
It can't.
Well, it does.
The road can't. You have to come out backwards already.
Darling, before we do, you did remember to bring the champagne.
I know you won't mind my saying this, Diana, because we have been together now a long time. And I hope you'll agree that our marriage has been based on that mutual honesty and frankness which enables us, one of us, to say to the other, in this case me to you, that that is a question which an American lawyer would term incompetent, irrelevant, immaterial, and bloody daft.
Not really, darling. Not when we're so hot and we're coming to a lovely grassy bank under the trees and we've got a long drive home, backwards. And if you did remember the champagne and you don't mind drinking out...
You're not going to believe this, and it's a terrible blow for the temperance organisations. But when we put the three empties in the boot, which only left one full, because I'd remembered to bring the four, but forgotten to make the number up to six, and found we had new strength to drive on instead of back, we immediately arrived at a broad, signposted highway saying none other than Little Hammering, 1 mile. We didn't, in fact, go there for several reasons.
Well, it did. It did look like breathalyzer country.
We'd still have to have found Little Pledges.
Which wouldn't have been easy.
Oh, no.
No, not easy at all.
Unless she'd hung three tiny brass balls outside.
Tiny brass what?
I'm not answering that.
I'm putting my light out now.
Good night, darling.
Me too. Good night, darling. Also, think how mean it would look, just one bottle half little, little half bottle. Gerald, we'll get five more tomorrow. Then in the afternoon, now that we know the way. Darling.
We didn't, though. I might have, say, on the Tuesday or Wednesday, when the booze shop wouldn't be quite so surprised over the sudden burst of high life at Mr. and Mrs. Gerald C. Potter's, but on Wednesday, fate stepped in. Or not actually fate, but Nellie Dickey. Yes, indeed. Modern medical practice gets the patient up and about quickly these days. Even out in the shed, I heard her. The laugh that sank a thousand ships. Yes, I stayed in the shed. I don't talk mahjong. But Diana showed me afterwards the three magnums of champagne. A present from Nellie. Millie and Tilly, apparently, before going Spanish, had arranged for them to be sent round to Nellie. The trouble was, as she explained, she just couldn't stand the stuff. Never could.